Coaxial.
Hello and welcome to the first Coaxial. With I'm Christian Corley, and with me is Gareth Gavanna. Say hello.
Oh, hello. Yeah, no, sorry. There was like this little blip of sound then. So I thought, is it on? Is it not? But yes. Hello.
Hello. Podcasts over Skype. And you're listening to this on the Beyond Casterbris website, or via the Beyond Casterbris website. And we're bringing you a brand new, never attempted before podcast, which isn't about Doctor Who. And it's called Coaxial. It's about TV. And we don't know where we're going to go with this long term, but certainly to start off with, we're going to have a look at the recent season of the BBC's classic sitcom season, which you might have seen. There's various episodes. There was a remade, I've Been Served remade, Porridge. There was a quiz show that was on Friday night about British comedy, mostly BBC British comedy, mind. And there's a few on BBC Four that were lost scripts that have been remade. And I'm not entirely sure how we're going to start with this, but I'll tell you what we'll do, Gareth. I'll tell you how we will start with this. We'll start with this with a simple question. Was it a good idea for the BBC to do a classic sitcom season?
Oh, without doubt. For me, I think without doubt. But I did get a feel there's a bit of a cultural cringe going on in bits of the BBC as well. It felt like one arm of the BBC had done this while the sort of highfalutin cultural arm of the BBC wasn't looking or was on holiday and came back and found all this commissioned, because it definitely feels like they've been less keen to promote things that you would expect to see promoted than others.
Such as?
That's how it feels to me. Well, I mean, Are You Being Served was filmed back in February or so, but there was very little about it. And then there was one cast photo that was really good. And then there was like a very brief trail, which had a little bit of Are You Being Served, but seemed to be mostly Porridge, which told me that the BBC were a little bit embarrassed about Are You Being Served. Mm-hmm. And then they just snuck it out on the Sunday night of the bank holiday, which is, you know, a difficult slot.
On a bank holiday, definitely, yeah.
On a bank holiday. So I read that as, you know, we're a bit embarrassed about this. But that's just my take.
When it was all launched back in March, I just brought up the press release.
Uh-huh.
And it says here, Charlotte Moore, controller of BBC Channels and iPlayer, says, comedy has such a wonderful, rich tradition on the BBC, and I'm committed to continuing that across all the channels. The landmark sitcom season will celebrate our very British sense of humour by reimagining hits of the past and giving a platform for new talents.
Ooh, that's a very strange statement, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Because there isn't, I mean, there is reimaginings in there. There's the Young Hyacinth. Have you watched the Young Hyacinth?
No, that's the one I didn't watch, because I kind of thought, I'm not sure there's a point to this, because for me, the joy of keeping up appearances was not so much Hyacinth, it was Onslow. And if you haven't got Onslow and family there, not quite sure what the point is here. Don't know, I didn't see it. Did you see it?
I didn't see it. I think there were some criticisms about the very reason why I didn't watch it, that coincide with the reason I didn't watch it, and that was the publicity photos. The actress concerned, whose name escapes me at the moment, seems to have...
we're doing well here, aren't we?
Yeah, overdoing the posing and mugging a bit, and that really put me off, which, you know, publicity photos shouldn't be putting someone off watching something, should they?
No. Now, on the other side, I thought the Are You Being Served publicity photo was a triumph, and it was just the one. Did you watch Are You Being Served?
I did, and I laughed from beginning to end.
Yeah, I did as well. It was the risky one, just making it 1988 and just recasting everyone. And it wasn't without its problems. I don't remember Mr. Granger being that Welsh. He seemed to become really Welsh in this one, and it was a bit... I mean, I love Roy Barraclough, and he's brilliant, but it was a bit, you know, really? This is a bit Spike Milligan Welsh.
It was nice to see Barraclough on TV again, actually.
It was, you know, he's one of the great national treasures. But do you know what I felt? I felt because I felt there was an anxiety amongst the audience and the cast. And as they got the famous catchphrases out and they got big cheers, then it kind of loosened up. You know, when Mr. Humphries did his first I'm Free and Mrs. Slocum did the first pussy joke and glass of water for Mr. Granger, it felt like the mood lifted in the whole thing. I quite liked it, actually. I thought, who is it who played the young Mr. Grace?
That was Horn, wasn't it?
Horn, yeah, him from Gavin's. I thought he was good. I thought making him a sort of brash 80s yuppie sort of fitted, and it still felt like a period piece.
It did.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
I think a lot of the criticism...
Sherry Hewson was revelation,
yeah. Yeah, Sherry Hewson was good. I think the entire cast was good. I think the problem is it had this criticism around. A lot of people thought it was terrible, but it was never cutting-edge comedy in the first place, was it? It was bawdy carry-on style humour set in a department store. There was never anything sophisticated about Are You Being Served?
No, there's not a dramatic siege where you find Mrs. Slocum weeping uncontrollably in the dressing room because she's just been made homeless or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah.
It's broad, it's funny, it's well-performed, it's well-written. I didn't read any of the reviews, but I can sort of guess who hated it and who liked it. But going off my Facebook thread, which I always think is quite a good judge because I've got lots of television people, it was the telly snobs who hated it and the people who liked it in the first place who loved it.
Yeah.
And I guess everyone else just tuned in. And in fact, the people who hated it on my Facebook group, I noticed a couple of them, and I don't know if you ever came across this, a couple of them are what I would call solid BBC families. And this was a phenomenon that I wasn't aware of until a few years ago. There are actually people out there who, growing up, were not allowed to watch ITV.
Oh, yes, I know.
Had
this,
all of their content screened by their parents. So they would have said, oh, no, you can't watch trash like Are You Being Served? You need to be watching this fascinating documentary on steam locomotives on BBC Two. You know, or we'll turn the wretched telly off and we'll all play musical instruments.
Yeah, yeah. I had two families that we knew growing up that didn't watch ITV.
I find that unbelievable. We were a solid ITV family, you know. We used to watch everything. The Benny Hill Show, Coronation Street. Mm-hmm. And I
That's
think it's
my
a
boy.
Shame. I can't, I cannot understand why people would switch off one third of the channels. Out of a snobbish, elitist thing. And it's funny, you said something interesting earlier when you were talking about the quiz show and they ignored most of the ITV sitcoms. ITV, you know, really actually invents the sitcom, as far as I can see. It makes it a popular mass piece of entertainment, not some elitist, cleverly written, pseudo-political piece that's masquerading as a bit of a knockabout comedy. They, you know, they're happy to celebrate the ordinary and do it brilliantly.
The problem with ITV and sitcoms is they don't really ever seem to have confidence in them, do they?
Not nowadays. Although having said that, with Vicious, we've probably got the most sharply written and classic sitcom of recent years, one that is just embracing all of the conventions, which is that it's about entrapment and characters in a simple setting, and it's about the writing and performance. You know, Vicious could quite easily be George and Mildred or any of those classics.
Yeah, I absolutely wouldn't disagree with that. Vicious is excellent, but you know, it's been sparse for Channel 4, for ITV, beg your pardon, for comedy over the years, over recent years. It's difficult to say where it started going wrong for them with sitcoms. I can't really think of anything notable after The New Statesman. I'm sure there must be something, but I can't think of what it is.
Yeah, it's funny. They just kind of decide they're not going to be in that market anymore. You know, I mean, my TiVo is set for all sorts of treats on ITV3. and it just knows the series link when they come round. So occasionally I'll turn it on and, oh, George and Mildred is back. Excellent. So I'll watch George and Mildred, or Duty Free is back, or, you know, all of those on the buses, all of those. And you think that they were pumping out that output. The only thing I can think of is that there was probably no money in the sitcoms in the end.
Right.
Because, compared to drama, I mean, we were talking about Victoria before we came on air. You know, Victoria is a solid commercial product. It's, you know, it's well made, well performed. It's got a sumptuous style, but you know it's going to make zillions of pounds round the world.
Yeah.
Something like Hardware is probably the last, you know,
good
ITV
call. Yes.
Sitcom I can remember, which was a great show, but they didn't know where to schedule it, and it probably never sold anywhere apart from here.
DVDs are hard to find as well.
Is that so?
Yes. And I think I'm right in saying that the Hardware DVDs, I think they've had rights issues with music playing, you know, it's the old Doctor Who thing, music playing on jukeboxes in the cafe. So they've actually cut scenes out of it, if I recall my reading correctly.
Yeah, only Fools and Horses a bit like that as well, apparently.
Right.
There's whole chunks missing from that because of music. So I guess they just sort of gave up because they were seen as being either no audience or no money in it.
It's a strange thing.
And I suppose the sitcoms that I watch, I mean, Toast to London, I watch. That's great. But I can't think of many sitcoms that I actually are appointment television now in terms of the current stuff.
Yeah, I think probably Not Going Out's the only thing that I would definitely watch if it was coming on. But, you know, that's been off air for like 2 years. Or it'll be 2 years by the time it comes back on anyway, so.
Yeah. So it's hardly a perennial, is it?
Exactly, exactly. Okay, let's go back to the classic sitcom season. Because there was obviously, you know, they remade Are You Being Served as a sort of a clone. And then they updated Porridge. Now, yeah. I still haven't seen Porridge. I'm a little bit touch and go as to whether I want to commit myself to that 30 minutes or 23 minutes or whatever, whether I'm going to leave it disappointed or not. Because I like Kevin Bishop, but I'm not convinced by the setup. But you have watched, haven't you?
I found it okay, if I'm being honest. But I didn't go into it with a sort of, oh, this is a sacred piece of television that you can't touch. I thought it worked. You know, it's got the original writers behind it, so it's got a provenance. So it hasn't, it's got over the Are You Being Served headache straight away. So it's got everything going for it. But again, going off my Facebook thread, everyone seemed to hate it. It was very odd. What's your worry with it then? Do you just not like the idea that Fletcher's grandson's in prison?
Yeah, I think there's a whole bunch of coincidences that you have to sort of take on with it to suspend your disbelief. And then there's also, and you know, it's very silly to be put off by this, but this is why trailers and publicity photos are done in order to entice you. And if there's a feeling about something that's going to put you off, then it's going to put you off. And then, you know, there's the reuse of the recycling of a classic joke, which is like, from the original series, which is like the centerpiece of the trailer. Don't let me catch
you.
Don't worry, I won't.
That's cultural cringe, though. That's them worried.
Yeah.
I read that as them worried that no one's going to watch it or they're not going to get it. It's a little bit like the problem that the TV movie had with Doctor Who. In that they panicked and thought, oh my God, no one will recognise this Doctor Who. It's been off air for 6 years. Let's get references in there to everything. Time Lords, Gallifrey, Omega, the Master, the Daleks, Regeneration, 13 Lives, Sonic Screwdriver, Jelly Babies.
Yeah.
And they kind of panicked as opposed to just letting it do its own thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I'll probably come along to that at some point, but as yet, I'm not sure.
Now, the one that's drawn universal praise, and I have to say, it has got some stellar performances in it, was the Hancock episode.
Yes, no, I watched that last night. It was really good.
Oh, yeah. John Coleshaw as Sid James. I never saw that. He's brilliant.
Oh, he is, yeah.
And who is it who plays, I mean, it's the most amazing Kenneth Williams homage. I mean, I just couldn't believe how good that actor was, and I don't know his name. Is that terrible? It'll be in the show notes, won't it?
Oh, without a doubt.
He was terrific. Kevin McNally really captured everything. that was great about Tony Hancock. And I thought the episode actually had a lot to say, even now. You know, when I go back to see my mum, because she lives in like a cul-de-sac, she knows everything about the neighbours. Mm. Where they're coming, where they're going, who's visiting, what car, yeah, how long they've been there, how so-and-so's doing, how so-and-so's doing, you know, ooh, you know, pruning the hedges, about time, all that sort of thing. You know, the total knowledge. And you forget, really, what a big deal it is when someone new moves in.
Well, it was Robin Sebastian who played Kenneth Williams' character.
Oh, that's stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Katie Wicks was good as well.
Oh, Hattie Jakes. Yeah.
She was
Very good.
Yeah, she was. It was a strange. It was a match with McNally's performance, I think, wasn't it? Because it's not like an impersonation, but at the same time, it is like him. It's a strange. I'm not entirely sure how you would describe it, really. But yeah, it was superb, really, really good. Go on.
The space that they occupy with the performance and do their own thing, basically.
Yeah.
Which is the only way you can do these. Although, having said that, you know, because Coulshaw did that. Having said that, you know, the Kenneth Williams guy. What was his name again?
Robin Sebastian.
Robin Sebastian. You know, because everyone else had done their own thing, they'd found the same sort of space that those characters occupied and done their own thing, there was room for him to then just do a complete Ken homage. And it worked. Because I thought, is Kenneth Williams in this one? We haven't seen him yet. That's unusual. And then when he comes in, it's just instantly stunning. Instantly stunning. So, yeah, that was really good. I thought the staging was terrific because it was almost like they just went with the theatre stage conventions, you know, where they had sort of just window frames and you could see that there were people behind them waiting to come on. But you're okay with that because... And it worked. It worked very well with, you know, the roof and the window and all those things. It was exactly how you would do it, you know, because television of that era was basically theatre with cameras. So by going back to that and making that just the same thing, theatre with cameras, it was great. Really good. It would have been great to see that live. So I think we're a big 9 out of 10 for that one.
Yeah, definitely. Now, the strange thing about this is I was watching it in bed last night. And
oh, yes.
I was sat there for about 2 or 3 minutes thinking, I've seen this, but obviously I couldn't have seen it. But upon having a chat with members of the family, I have heard the old radio version of it.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of, that's right. They redid them, didn't
they? Yeah. And so I must have seen it in my mind's eye with the original cast, which was so strange.
The false memory.
Yeah.
I remember they reran a load of Hancocks in the 80s on BBC Two. Mm. That was the first time I'd seen them. And they are very good.
Yeah.
You know, and they've aged very well. So, yeah, that one was good. Now, did you watch Till Death Do Us Part?
I haven't seen that yet.
Now, that one is problematic.
Right.
That one really didn't work for me.
Why is that, then?
Well, I thought about this a lot because I knew I was going to have to come and gasbag on this.
Okay.
I mean, for starters, it's done as a single set, but the room is enormous, so it looks like it looked to me like Alf Garnett, instead of living in a little two up, two down East London terrace, lived in like a huge Regency house with an enormous lounge and drawing room, and that instantly put me off. It didn't feel right. I'm not saying that Simon Day was bad as Alf, but he didn't really bring anything new to it.
Right.
So that was a bit of a problem. But the main problem was, and I thought about this, I have to confess, I only watched the first quarter of an hour because I thought it was that bad. I turned it off.
Ooh.
So I don't know if he turns up. It missed Tony Booth's Scouser.
Right.
Because there was no one to challenge Alf Garnett's worldview.
Yeah.
Because it needed that. And, you know, and the thing about the Scouskit, as he called him, Scarskit, is he was also frequently quite ridiculous as well. But you needed him as the only person in there who would directly challenge Alf and challenge Alf's worldview. And by Alf defending his worldview would dig himself deeper and deeper and deeper. Tony Booth's character would allow us to laugh at Alf. So what we were left with was quite sort of, that one really did feel a little bit archaic and it didn't work. So that one's problematic, I think.
Okay. That's interesting. That is interesting. I'm going to watch it at some point, but I haven't actually got round to that at the moment. It's probably worth now going to the other big success of the BBC's classic sitcom season, which was Goodnight Sweetheart.
Oh, yes. Yep. That's brilliant. That's the one that really shouldn't have worked for me, because the original ending is so strong and so bittersweet and ties it all up perfectly in a bow. And yet, you're right, it's the standout success. That's the one that really deserves to go to series of everything
definitely
we saw. And it looked like it was made on a shoestring, but it was brilliant. I love the idea of him turning up in sort of hipster London.
Yeah, yeah. And complete really culture shock.
Yeah, only 20 years on, and the whole thing feels like it's moved on 100 years. No, that was good. And I suppose giving him a daughter in the future and a son in the past, that's pretty good. I like the idea that his stealing of songs is now catching up with him.
Yeah, pinched, yeah.
Because he's pinched so many Beatles songs and things from the 60s. Now he's actually at that point. It's going to be tricky. So I like that. Borderly, I quite like that. It made me laugh. It made me hoot the fact that he travels through time now into the Kazi. That was quite funny. I think that one really had potential. And you remember what a great actor Nicholas Lyndhurst is.
I think he's better now than he was, to be honest with you.
Well, it's because he's left the Rodney thing behind, because he's so much older.
You know, when he did The Two of Us and when Goodnight Sweetheart first started, he had a kind of, there was a sort of, to his non-Rodney acting, there was a sort of aloof, sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? A kind of not entirely sympathetic aspect to him, I found. But watching Goodnight Sweetheart, the return of, he did seem to be a better actor than he was like 20 years ago.
Well, he's not been on our screens for a while, has he?
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. Apart from the old Section Chips. Was it called Section Chips? Yeah, Section Chips. Yeah.
He's not really been.
But no, he hasn't done a lot, no.
Oh, well, even that, Rock and Chips, was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, he was in. He's also done the hanging on for dear life old tricks as well, hasn't he? He was in the last run of that.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
I never watched that, must admit.
He was.
So he's not really had a hit for a while. So
no, he hasn't. No.
Goodnight Sweetheart is a tough sell, you know. He's a time-travelling bigamist. And yet we all kind of go with him.
Yeah, I would love to see a series of that, though. It was really good. I laughed all the way through.
Yeah,
and it had some nice turns in it as well.
That to me feels like if the BBC don't have it, ITV will pick it up. You know, like they did with Birds of a Feather.
Mm. Same writers.
Now that's where ITV have been bold. Yeah, same writers, so they will know. And I don't know what the ratings were for Goodnight Sweetheart, but the feedback has been pretty positive. ITV will have that, I would imagine, if the BBC turn it down. BBC have strange. I watched the new Red Dwarf episode and had a good chat with Doug Naylor at the Starburst Festival a few weeks ago. And he's still perplexed as to why the BBC decided to let Red Dwarf go. He said that the ratings that Red Dwarf got on its return on Dave were phenomenal when you tallied them up. I think it got like a live audience of 2.5 million. And then when you added in the repeats and the on-demand, it was nudging 8-9 million.
Wow.
And I can't think of a single sitcom that gets anywhere close to that. The BBC let that walk out the door.
It does make you wonder, doesn't it?
Birds of a Feather. I mean, that's done pretty well for ITV. I mean, it's not really to my taste.
No, same here. It's not to mine either, but yeah.
It's popular. it's popular and it has an audience, and it deserves an audience. So I don't know.
What we were talking about at the beginning as well, yeah. Doesn't it? That's like, you know, the whole sitcom seasons could have been done by someone whilst the main sitcom team were on holiday or something. There's like, it's completely, yeah. You know, there's a left hand and a right hand, completely different attitudes towards sitcoms. Sorry, do go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, now, if we imagine all the retro bawdy stuff is like the left hand that's been sort of, you know, they've been left in charge while the posh ones have gone on holiday. The other side of the coin is these new sitcoms that they've tried to launch, which all seem to have sunk without a trace. They did sitcoms of, there was Motherland and things like that, that just disappeared.
Well, I think Motherland's got like four writers, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And I keep seeing trailers for it popping up on iPlayer and on the BBC website, so they're definitely pushing it.
They're pushing it, but it isn't getting any cut through, whereas it's all the old stuff that's getting the cut through. And that must be quite irritating, really, if you want people to watch the new stuff.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. Without a doubt. Yeah, it's Graham Linehan and Sharon Horgan have written Motherland.
I think it
does seem to be aimed at a very particular demographic, though. Whereas, you know, in the old days, sitcoms were aimed at everyone, weren't they?
Pretty much, you know. Everyone watched these sitcoms. Do you know the sitcom that gets the grief, and I think often a lot more sophisticated, is, I know you're going to say Last of Summer Wine, but I'm going to say Terry and June.
Terry and June, I pulled the Terry and June up on YouTube a few days ago.
Terrific writing, great performance, you know, masters of their craft, Terry Scott, June Whitfield.
Mm.
And yet that's the sort of, that was the first in front of the firing squad when the, you know, alternate comedy, when Ben Elton led the charge and had all of this stuff taken off the telly pretty much single-handedly.
It's bizarre, isn't it, when you look at Ben Elton now?
Well, he quite the arch populist.
Yeah, it's strange. I wonder how that crew kind of feel about, you know, their sort of impact.
I wonder whether they feel guilty about it or not. They would probably say it was the right thing, and these things all had their time to die. And yeah, French and Saunders are quite happy to put June Whitfield in AbFab. Mm. You know, they've gone on to have longer lives. You know, if you look at something like Birds of a Feather, and indeed, if you look at the things that have transcended cultural, you know, the cultural barriers, I think that things like... Is this the sitcom police listening in on us?
No, I think it's one of those phone calls we were talking about before, actually.
Oh, lovely. Yes, yes. Yes. So, you know, it's funny. It's Are You Being Served, I think, is one of the global successes for the BBC and continues to sell. And I'm sure it irritates people to no end. And they probably brought it back thinking that this will kill it. Whereas I watched the Are You Being Served revival and thought, oh, they'd be nuts not to go to a full series with this.
Yeah.
Get it up to 52 episodes, bring in oodles of cash to help subsidise new programme making in the BBC and delight millions of people around the world. I mean, I just couldn't see why you would not make that. And yet, I have a strange feeling they won't do Are You Being Served.
I would be very surprised if they did. I can't even see them putting it online or doing it straight to DVD or whatever. They'll just sweep it away, which is an absolute tragedy, really, because it was so well. You know, the new framing for
lovingly crafted.
Yeah,
lovingly crafted.
Yeah.
But you know, and that's the difference between us and the Americans, I guess. The Americans, now the Americans do have the manual sitcoms. You know, when it first came out, I used to be very dismissive of Frasier. I used to think, oh, this is just American tat, you know, never really liked Cheers, a little bit contrived, don't like the canned laughter. And then when I was out of work a couple of years ago and I found that Channel 4 was showing two episodes every morning and I couldn't be bothered getting out of bed, so I just stayed in bed in the morning with a cup of tea and started watching Frasier. I thought it was really good. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is my own snobbery and stupidity has stopped me watching this for 25 years. This is really good stuff. And it's everything about that is sharply written and performed and all those things. I'll probably find, to my horror, I quite like Friends when I actually watch it. After 2 decades of going, oh, Friends, absolute tosh.
Now, Friends, yeah. I watched before, you know, before the press got hold of it. You know, before it became ultra popular. And I kind of stopped watching it when everyone else started watching it.
Ah, that's a very British thing to do.
Isn't it just?
That's a very British thing. You know, I'm like that as well. Ooh, this appears to be popular now. I'm not sure I like it anymore.
Yeah.
I preferred it when it was a niche. It probably goes to the heart of Doctor Who's problem with fandom, that does. What do you mean it's popular? What do you mean people are watching
again,
it? No.
Again, you know, the sitcom, and you've got this sort of, you know, you have the same setup, you know, you have the same characters week on week. There is a point with sitcoms, with long-running sitcoms, where they start become self-referential and pastiching themselves, isn't there? That stage is inevitable. And I think Friends did that after about the fifth series.
Yeah, although to be fair, the British sitcoms, and the only other sitcom I can think of that has this same sort of thing built into it is The Simpsons, strangely enough. Is I always thought British sitcoms almost exist in a different sort of space-time continuum in that they don't really refer to what's gone on before.
Yeah.
Or what happens after. Every episode is almost self-contained. And The Simpsons can only exist like that, where they're, you know, Bart is forever 8 or whatever he is, or 9 or 10, or, you know, no one ever grows older, no one ever learns from their mistakes. Every one is a different one. I think the British sitcoms were always like that.
Yes.
Okay. I'll tell you the sitcom of recent years, which we haven't talked about, because no one likes to think of it as a sitcom, but it is a sitcom. It is The Thick of It.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah,
and
it's a sitcom, yeah.
You know, and it is. And I had a chat with Adam Tandy at the Starburst Fest because he was there with Inside Number 9. Because I'd IMDb'd him in great excitement that he'd produced all series of The Thick of It. And, you know, I found myself becoming like a gibbering fanboy and quoting whole chunks of, you know, of The Thick of It at him. And he found that really bizarre because he said, I never meet any Thick of It fans.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he doesn't. Well, it's because his name, although he's produced the whole thing, you always think of, you know, Leonardo Annunucci or, you know, whoever. You don't think of him. Mm. So, yeah, his dabs are all over it and have been from the beginning.
Right.
He told me some great stories. He started off as a runner on Blankety Blank. And one of his jobs was to try and get Les Dawson out of the BBC bar because he was so nervous before he'd go on camera. He said it would take him 2 hours and several pints with Les, you know, just, you know, to get him out of the bar and get him on. And he said, and even though he'd had several pints, he was always the consummate professional and would just blow them away with something really bizarre and different that he'd think of every time they went in the studio.
Oh, he was superb, Les Dawson.
Evil.
Absolutely superb. Well, listen, we should probably wrap up what we've been talking about. So, you know, we've had a British sitcom season, a British classic sitcom season, which we suspect wasn't completely accepted by the people who produced the sitcoms at the BBC. We don't think that Ivan Cerf's going to go anywhere. We would like to see a series of Goodnight Sweetheart. What do you think? Has it really brought any? Has it truly celebrated the British sitcom, though? Do you think could if they really wanted to celebrate the British sitcom, could they have done more?
Oh, that's a very good question. On paper, I suppose they have, you know, and on paper, you have to applaud them for what they've done. They've gone back to real bona fide classics, and we've still got Steptoe and Son to come in the lost sitcoms. They've been bold, really, and gone, you know, okay, let's look at Are You Being Served Again? Let's look at Goodnight Sweetheart. Let's look at Porridge. And whatever the successes or otherwise of those, you have to say it's worked. And we've probably got the Open All Hours sequel to thank for that, which was an unexpected hit for the BBC.
Yeah.
And is nice and is lovingly crafted. But that's because we've still got the great Clark with us. So I would say on paper they've done it. I think, as with all these things, the promotion has kind of shown where they're really particularly interested, in that they've shied away from blanket bombing us with new "Are You Being Served?" and just sort of said, "Oh, it's sitcoms and we've got all sorts of things like Are You Being Served?" The new sitcoms, as I say, none of them have really jumped out and grabbed me, although they're the ones they seem to have been promoting the hardest. I think they've done all the right things. How effective it's been, I suppose we'll have to wait and see, to see what goes to series.
Well, I'll tell you what, assume we don't know anything, because we don't. Jump forward 5 years. Will any of this be remembered?
I think "Are You Being Served?" will probably be remembered within certain quarters. Porridge, if it doesn't go to series, will vanish without a trace. Hancock will be remembered, and I have a feeling that we'll see more Hancock from that team.
Right.
I just think that's the kind of thing BBC4 can do and do well.
Yeah.
So expect to see Hancock. Death to His Part will vanish without a trace. Goodnight, Sweetheart, if we look forward in the crystal ball, we've probably got 4 series of that in 5 years' time.
No, that would be nice.
And we'll be working our way through the 60s.
That would be nice. That would be nice. Okay, so final question. Okay. If you were in charge of highlighting the successes of classic BBC sitcom, would you have done anything different?
You mean what would I have brought back?
Yeah. If you like.
Well, Fools and Horses was a bit conspicuous by its absence, wasn't it?
Certainly was, yeah.
But John Sullivan's gone, so that's a tricky one.
Well, there was something he was working on when he passed away, I understand.
What, that has Fools
been,
and Horses?
Yeah, that has been touted as a possible revival script, or one-off revival script in the past. So I was surprised that they didn't go with that, because I've read about this before.
Yeah, that would have been that's the blockbuster, is something Fools and Horses. Do you know who was completely missing and only died recently? It was Carla Lane. Butterflies, very, very good. Always reminded me of my mother. There was something to do there. There's definitely something they could have gone with. So I think Carla Lane was a miss, because Carla Lane, of course, is one of the great female voices of comedy. Very strong with Bread, very strong with Butterflies.
Live of Birds.
I suppose we had a Live of Birds reunion a couple of years back, didn't we?
We didn't quite. 7 years ago now, I think.
Yeah, at least. But yeah, I think Butterflies is worth a revisit, because we've still got Wendy Craig. We've still got everyone from Butterflies, actually. And I think there would be something. Butterflies tells the story of a sort of, you know, that sort of midlife crisis. Is this it? Or is that all I'm going to be? I think it would have been nice to have fast-forwarded that again, because there's a lot of couples now divorcing in their 60s and 70s who raise the kids, get to the end of the working life, and realise they can't stand the person they're at home with day in, day out. And I think that would have been interesting to explore, because Rhea, while she, you know, Wendy Craig's character, while she found her life really boring, she also had complete freedom to go out to the shops or do what she wanted, or to go and meet the man that she'd fancied. And if she suddenly had, you know, Jeffrey Palmer at home every day saying, "What are we doing today? Where are you going? When are you coming back?" I think there would have been interesting dramatic space to explore that would have been relevant to a lot of people. So
yeah,
I'm going to say Butterflies is the big miss there.
Okay.
What about you?
I think, Men Behaving Badly would have been interesting to see again.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two others. But what I noticed was a miss of documentaries, a lack of documentaries, because, you know, other channels have been doing the BBC's job for them over the years. So there's great documentaries. There's the Fawlty Towers reunion, which was on Gold, I think.
Oh, superb!
I'm surprised the BBC didn't bang them a few books and put that on.
Yeah, there was a good David Croft documentary which I caught that covered a lot of his canon quite well, and that was a lovely. But I think even that was just an update of a documentary from 3-4 years ago.
Right.
So even that was just a sort of hurriedly patched together some extra bits in. In fact, it may not have even had any extra bits in. You're right on the Fawlty Tower stuff. That's all on the DVD set. With actually what I must say is one of the best commentaries I've ever heard, where it's just John Cleese doing a commentary on every single Fawlty Towers episode. And he takes every line and dissects it. You know, it's like the master craftsman. But sometimes he just laughs uncontrollably at his own stuff and says that's the best thing we ever did. Well, you know, he's done a new Fawlty Towers stage show in Australia.
Yes, I do. I know about this. I've been following this with some interest, because there's at least two other people doing their own Fawlty Towers.
But this one's real. Because
this is real. This is Cleese's, yeah.
But he's tweaked the scripts and added some lines and refined some stuff. So we've actually got technically new Fawlty Towers.
Fawlty Towers. Interesting. Eric Idle won't be pleased.
Oh. Is he ever pleased with anything?
Competition for a spot lot there, potentially.
Potentially. Well, although I think, I don't know, I mean, Cleese has launched it in Australia because he said he doesn't want any grief from the sniffy British critics. So it may never actually get here.
Well, yeah, it depends how it goes, doesn't it? But I know that the unofficial Fawlty Towers things, there's a Fawlty Towers dining experience.
Oh, the dining experience, yeah.
Yeah. I know there's one of those in Australia, apparently. So
it started in Australia.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So absolutely, you need to get... He needs to get his ownership back on that.
We've been to one. It is good.
Right.
I mean, it was funny, you know. And you basically, you pay sort of whatever, 30-odd quid, and you get a sort of average three-course meal. But you are served by waiters and served by Basil, Sybil, Manuel, and I can't remember if Polly's there, or maybe it's just the three of them. And it's very good. Like, at one point, they serve a soup that's got, like, a set of false teeth in and things like that. And they have the rats going under the tables. It's very cool, and apparently I've seen adverts for Only Fools and Horses, one called Only Fools and Three Courses. Although I'm not entirely sure how you're being served by Rodney, Dell and Uncle Albert kind of fits. I don't remember them having I suppose they've set up a catering operation.
You wouldn't go to that restaurant, would you? I don't think.
No, maybe it's the Trotter Outdoor Caterers concession or something.
Okay.
But yes, lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff. So if you haven't caught up with any of the BBC Classic Sitcom season of programming, you can catch it all on BBC iPlayer, which makes this entire podcast, our first coaxial, sound like a big advert for BBC iPlayer. But that wasn't the intention whatsoever.
Other sitcoms are available on other
sitcoms
channels.
And other channels are available. Okay, yes. So that's the end of the very first coaxial. We hope to be back at some point in the future, looking at another topic or another bunch of shows. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
And it's good night from him.